You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Linus Coraggio. Linus, thanks so much for being with me today.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
So, Linus, you're having a show coming up at Howl on in East Village, right? When does that show open?
September 12th, 6 to 9, and it runs till October 14th. And within that time, there's going to be some presentations and events like panel talks and film screenings.
So let's go through it all. First, how did that show come about? Before we get into the contents of the show, I mean, Howl is a pretty great center. I've talked to people from there before. How did this show come about at Howl?
Well, it came about because they became on my radar about 2.5 years ago, although I think they've been in operation about 5 years. Or six by now, and I just noticed they were showing a lot of my colleagues and constituents from the East Village era of the 80s, which is sort of where I cut my teeth after art school, and eventually I figured out who was running the place, and they were sort of already aware of me through other artists that had showed there, and I asked if I could have a show, and they said okay, and I thought it was supposed to be, this was two years ago, and I thought it was scheduled for last September. So then they said, oh, no, we meant 2019. So I was like, well, okay, I'll still do it. So this is the longest preparation I've ever done for a one-man show. I've really been thinking about it, and it's opened up an idea to have different categories of my work shown, including a component of collaborations with other artists. So I've done stuff with Al Diaz, and I'm talking about collaborations with Kemba Fowler and LA2 and Fab Five Freddy and a few other people.
So let's go through all the stuff in the show. So there's tell me about the different bodies of work, because yeah, I want to get into the collaborations and just what you did with them, but what's the earliest work that's in the show? Because this is kind of a survey of all your work, it sounds like.
Yeah, which is generally what I've done with the larger one-man shows. I had one in Chelsea in 06 at Michael Steinberg Fine Art, and he had a huge space, so I was able to spread out and show the different genres that I do. Including street art. That's something I got involved with in art school because I knew a lot of the early graffiti writers and street, well, there were only a few street artists, but I saw what they were up to and designed my own genre I call 3D graffiti. And that's something I started doing in the early 80s where I was making scrap metal constructions and bolting them to no parking signs around the city.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit, because some of that's going to be in there. What you're talking about is 3D graffiti, which is, yeah, you're sculpting, you're welding, right, scrap material, and you're bolting stuff to where?
Well, as a kid, I grew up in New York City, so one of the things I used to do on the way to school was climb these no parking signs. They're actually like channel iron that you can jam your feet into, and they have perforated holes the entire length. So I realized if I could match the spacing between the holes and through-bolt my sculptures on and then bend the bolts over and leave them, I could get my work out there. at a time when the art scene in New York was, in my view, really locked up as a young person. You know, places like Leo Castelli just made you want to commit suicide because there was no chance of showing there. And even though the East Village scene was hitting, that was, it felt like you were subverting the status quo to show your art in the East Village to a degree. So that was my alternative. I was even putting my work outside East Village galleries that had turned me down. So that was my method for getting my art before the public. And
so how did that work out? So you're bolting work to different places all over the city. Did that also open up things? Because I remember at that time also you were getting some press in magazines in different ways with, I forgot who it was, that famous writer sitting on some of your chairs. Did some of that come about because of this kind of, like, 3D graffiti, as you called it?
Not really. Walter Robinson and Carla McCormick wrote a large survey of what was going on in the East Village in the summer of 84. And they had tracked me down in art school to do a phone interview. And that sort of galvanized my thoughts about being an artist at the time. I was like, well, I've, you know, already gotten a little recognition, so I guess I'll just go back to fucking New York City and see what I can do making stuff and getting it seen. And that led to a one-man show in the East Village later that year. And then just it became a lifestyle of figuring out which galleries were showing what and pretty much going to openings every night and hearing about stuff. So indirectly, it just sort of convinced me to.
But go on. So, in this show, there's work from that time too coming in, right? Like some of the 3D graffiti, or I guess not that work, but work related to that time.
No, I'm actually going to do a component where there's an installation of actual 3D graffitis. I saved a few because I was aware of the importance to document your work. And I also had photographers follow me around at night when I was putting them up. So, and there's also a film being done by a filmmaker, Tom Campbell, who is making different categories of films about me the last 6 years. And we've compiled some old footage of me doing an installation in the East Village with the 3D graffiti with some recent activity. So that film will be shown along with actual pieces from that time mounted on parking signs. And I'd done something similar in 84 where I brought the 3D graffiti into the gallery on the no parking sign. And the gallery was reticent to have actual parking signs from New York City on the post. So I had a friend from art school silkscreen traffic sign on plexi so that it could make that leap inside the gallery without any alarms going off.
Right.
And I still have a couple of those silkscreen signs, so that's going to be shown again.
And what else is going to be in there? You said there's also some collaborations going to be in there. What will they take the form of? Those are sculptures or paintings? What are the collaborations that'll be shown?
They're mostly two dimensional. They involve collage and painting. And they're just kind of sharing the surface with, I have my own genre of painting I've been doing since the early 80s, also based on street art, because I had friends in this group painting collective called Avant. And what they were doing is, in the early 80s, they would do very quick abstract paintings on paper and then we'd paste them around Soho mostly. And their style was kind of a mix of graffiti elements with abstract expressionism. And I just found myself painting in that style since then. I actually tried to join them before I had thought of the 3D graffiti, and they were just getting some attention with some gallery shows then, so they weren't so inclusive at that time and didn't let me in the group. So that's what made me think of, what could I do to show my own work? And then I was already doing welded sculptures, so I figured out the 3D graffiti outstallation, as I call them.
And so there's some of those collaborations in there and some 3D graffiti, and there's also paintings in there of yours, right? What else is in the show?
Yeah, so the paintings are some larger examples of this subway graffiti style from the 70s and 80s mixed with abstract expressionism, where I use spray paint and a lot of day glow colors, and then marker on top to delineate the edges in some cases. But the main thing, the three things we just talked about, the collaborations of paintings and the 3D graffiti, that's going to be about 30% of the show. The main bulk is going to be abstract sculptures made from scrap metal, which is pretty much what I've been doing since the 80s. And I've done this series of what I call totemic sculptures, which are sort of reminiscent of David Smith's totemic sculptures that he did in Italy, where he used factory parts and also forged metal to create these tall, slender sculptures. So these things take me a year or three to finish in some cases. So I have a bunch of those that will be sited next to each other and create kind of a dynamic just by virtue of them being next to each other.
On a scale, too, because there's a lot of different scales of what's happening there. The sculptures, the totemic sculptures are bigger than anything else in there, right?
Yeah, and Howl Gallery has a tall ceiling, so they'll be able to be seen properly. I've showed them outside, but the gallery is kind of raw with an old wood floor, but it has the sheetrocked wall, so they'll stand out against the background. And then I have also abstract relief-type sculptures that I've been working on, some with colored backgrounds. I have a genre I call painting meets sculpture, which is essentially a metal wall relief with a painting or colored background underneath it that mimics or highlights the actual linear relief on top of it that's bare rusted metal. And then I also am going to include the sculptural furniture that I do. I've done over 180 one-of-a-kind chairs made from various found material since the mid-80s. And also I do these folding screens that can be abstract or four or five panel hinged metal frameworks with different abstract motifs going on. Although I did one with figures as well, cut out of plate steel. So that's most of it. I also am going to do some representational two-dimensional work.
And then what about the panels? You said they're going to be performances and panels. What are the what are those, and what will they be about?
The panel screens that I mentioned just now?
No, the discussions. I thought, oh, you said there was going to be panels. I meant like not the panel screens, but like there's also like events and discussions and I don't know. There's the film you mentioned, but what other events are happening throughout the show?
Right. Well, there have been two panels in the last 5 years about street art and graffiti and the distinction between them. And I've been in both of them. One was at Bishop Gallery in 2015, and the other was at Frost Gallery about 6 months ago. And I don't think there's enough awareness about street art in a historical sense. Everyone thinks it sort of started with Banksy. And that's simply not true. There were people doing this mostly in New York City in the late 70s and early 80s. So friends with some of them, El Diaz, of course, who collaborated with Basquiat, and Chris Chambers, who started the Avant Painting Group, and also Rick Prohl did some street art. So I'd like to keep that awareness going out and have a panel about street art, mostly with perhaps some graffiti artists on the panel to further create the distinction between what was going on at that time.
Yeah, what else? Any other performances or anything else happening in that space that people should know about?
Yeah, the doors to Howl are about big enough to drive a car in, and I've done a couple of art cars. There's one I did for a neighbor up here on the Upper West Side. It's a 92 Toyota that was painted in my abstract graffiti style. So that's being parked on the street for the last 6 years, and it's kind of a famous vehicle uptown here. And I'm going to try to shoehorn that into the gallery, and then similar to what I did on Rivington Street, where I started an outdoor sculpture garden in the mid-80s with a group of other sculptors. That was where we took over an empty city lot and just started to fill it up, initially with abandoned vehicles that some of the Rivington School members owned, and then when they died, they get parked or pushed into the lot, and then that became a base for building a linear metal sculpture on top. So I'm going to go with that 80s technique and actually do an installation inside the gallery with a welded tower on top of the parked car. And I may even work on it during the day after the opening, during the duration of the show. Then I've talked about doing a performance piece with Kimber Fowler, who's a de facto performance artist in her own right and musician, whose work I've always thought was interesting. And I'm probably forgetting some things. It's sort of a subconscious project on some levels, but that's the gist of it.
Sounds good. Sounds exciting. Well, congratulations on that show. And Linus, one thing I also wanted to ask you is you're getting Kathy Acker Award this year, correct?
Yeah, they picked me this year, and
What are you getting that award for exactly? How did that happen? That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, the main organizer behind it, Clayton Patterson, has always been on the scene with his camera. And originally I thought there was a rumor about him that he was working for the FBI collecting headshots of people as potential identifying things for law enforcement. But he turns out to be the real deal, as he would say, and has his heart in preserving the lore and history of the East Village. So he's photographed my outdoor sculptural installations over the years at Rivington School and the gas station art space, Space 2B, on Avenue B and 2nd. So he's been aware of what I've been up to since the 80s and decided it was about time for some public recognition of my activism and endeavors over the years. So it's how the Underground honors its own, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Some other friends of mine are getting awards this year for music or art. And this is happening at Theater for the New City towards the end of March. So I've been to one other of these awards on St. Mark's Place a couple of years ago when a friend of mine, Jim Powers, the Mosaic Man, got an award. And since I collaborated with Jim on a mosaic welded metal project on a rooftop on East 7th Street, he kind of called me up on stage unexpectedly, so I sort of got a little bit of Acker limelight back then, but this is just for me this year, and it's an interesting event, so I encourage people to come to it.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Yeah, it feels good. This is like the Oscars for downtown artists. It's a real thing. It's not campy. It's not bullshit. It's just like I said, the Underground honoring its own.
Right.
It's a cool thing.
Before we go, I want to ask you what you're reading. What books are around that you're looking at now?
Well, I gotta confess, so my book reading goes in spurts. I do have, for the last 10 years or so, taken an interest in The New Yorker, so I kind of fanatically try to read all the articles every week, and I just subscribed to that a couple of months ago. So I'm kind of tuned into that, plugged into that as my main source of political information and random stories that they write about various subjects. So that sort of keeps my brain healthy, taking in the variety that they publish every week. But I'm reading a book about the chemistry of bones. I was in a bad motorcycle accident about a year and a half ago and broke a couple of bones in my hand and dislocated a clavicle joint. So I became more interested in the human body. So I started reading about how bones heal and the dynamics behind that. It's a scientific book. And I learned a few interesting things, like if you break a bone, there's a school of thought that if it happens around noon, you heal better than if it happened at midnight for some reason. And fortunately, my accident was at noon, and I've healed about as well as anybody could for somebody in their mid-50s. I'm also taking an interest in writing more, so I kind of buckled down and read that Strunk book about English language use and structure. So I'm trying to school myself on things I didn't learn in school or pay attention to in terms of writing, because I'm also embarking on doing interviews about Jean-Michel Basquiat, because I happen to know a lot of people who knew him. And his name always seems to come up in conversation regularly. So I've been sitting down with like friends who knew him as a teenager and in their 20s, and just letting people talk and making cross references between what people say, and just trying to hear people's stories and create some new information about just random interactions that occurred during his lifetime.
Well, good. Great to hear, and good luck with the show. Thanks a lot for talking with me, Linus. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, pleasure. Look forward to hearing it online and being able to tell people about it. But what you're doing is a real resource, I think.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.